Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. In good times, in bad times, God is good. He turns our weeping to joy, and He turns our mourning into celebration. It is good all the time. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for our worship team. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have entered a very wonderful new year. Amen. First, I want to thank God for those who God has touched your life in this season, and they are here to celebrate with the Lord. Amen? Amen. And it's also good to see my brother, Pastor Vane. Good to see you. Amen. We're glad you're here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's good to see all of you this morning. Amen. Amen. We've started off the year because we are under the cloud of the Lord, and we want our life to be so in the Lord that what God does with us this year and His glory will be greater than last year. Amen? Amen. The glory of the latter is always greater than that of the former. Amen. Amen? Amen? That's our principle. So we started the vision for this year as reminding us that we are under the cloud of the glory of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So this morning, I want to share the next step that will make us so fruitful that we'll be wondering, why has it just happened now? Because God is a God of times and seasons. Amen? It's harvest time. So, before we go into the scriptures, I just want to bring some things to your attention. Amen? Amen. There's a scripture that helps me a lot. And that scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? Who for the joy that was set before him was able to despise all the shame and all the reproach and everything, to endure the cross because of the joy that was set before him. And he finished his course. Amen? So looking unto Jesus, then Jesus said something that we must really meditate carefully on. He said in John chapter 16 to Philip and the disciples, he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen what? The Father. For I and the Father are one. Mean it's a reflection of the Father's heart. It's a reflection of the very purpose of the Father's heart to the world. That's why he came. Amen? Now, having said that, means that Jesus is our ultimate, God in the flesh, ultimate example of how not only to love God, to live for God, but to be fruitful and to fulfill our assignment here. So using his model, his example, as the cornerstone of every building that is spiritual. Cornerstone means the only perfect example. Using that, he was trained and prepared for his assignment here on earth. And when it was time, he came to the ministry of John the Baptist. And if you all remember, as he was being baptized, the glory, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, fulfilling Isaiah 61. like a dove, the glory rested upon him. And the father said, my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He was now anointed, clothed under the glory, under the cloud, to fulfill his assignment on earth. So he's now under the cloud by day and the fire by night, under the glory of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, into his ministry after 10 years of preparation. Just a few examples. As he was ministering, there were few statements he made about the focus of the ministry. At some point, he would use the word like, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. At one point, he would say, I did not come for the righteous, but I came for those who are sick, for sinners. Amen? He was responding to all kinds of things. And then in a practical way, Jesus being the church of that day, the mobile church of that day, Emmanuel, God with us, that's the church. And everywhere he went, the Bible says he was doing good, both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Just a few examples. There was a time in his church, a woman came. And the woman started washing his feet with tears, and he used the perfume and washed his feet and cried and used his hair, just worshipped him lavishly. And in the church of Jesus at that time, amen, somebody was sleeping, that's why. Okay. In the church of Jesus at that time, there were all kinds of people. Amen. And they saw Jesus and this woman. They were experiencing Jesus ministering. That's his church. And some of them started thinking in their mind, if this is really who he says he is, doesn't he know that this who this woman is? Amen? Because this woman was known as harlotry, perversion, possessed, all kinds of demonic problems. But he came to the church of Jesus. At some point, he was so much with publicans, or what the Jews call sinners or tax collectors. He was so much in their midst, and Matthew invited them, and he was eating with them. That's the church of Jesus. He was the church. And as he was ministering to them, some other members of the church came, and they said, look at him, he's in your church, they are eating and drinking. Don't you know that these people are sinners? Why are you eating with them? Why are you drinking with them? And Jesus told them, those that are not sick don't need physician. I came for those that are sick. And he continued in his church. Some people were so possessed, he went to them. He delivered them. Some were sick. A lot of sick people. So Jesus was a mobile hospital. His church was. It doesn't matter the need. It was a mobile hospital. Amen? Amen. If your mind has problem, he will calm your mind. If you're a harlot, he will show you the right direction. If you are, whatever you are a Pharisee, you are a Sadducee, if all your Pharisee and Sadducee is not in your head, he will turn you in the right direction. But he came to point people to his Father. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? So the church of Jesus, there was no discrimination. He wanted everybody to come to him, but he didn't want them to live the same. Amen? So after so many years, a few years of his ministry, just the beginning of his ministry, because of what he was doing, there was such people coming because they saw that that's what he needed. Amen? Amen. So all of a sudden, in Luke chapter 6, remember he only does what he sees the Father do. He was called up to be alone with God at night to pray. So in prayer, he prayed all night, the Bible says. And then when he came down from the mountain, listen to this. He says, Jesus chose him 12 disciples. 12 disciples. And he started walking with the 12 disciples. And the disciple number, when he was walking with them, increased. So Jesus told them, he says, you see all these people following me? Some of them have different motives for following me. But the ones who truly will follow me, I will be my disciples. And they have a cross to carry. Amen? Daily. They are my disciples. So I want you to see how God and heaven looks at a successful church. The church of Jesus. So here, at a point, 5,000 men were in his church, and not even counting women and children. Sometimes he said there were multitudes that could not be counted in his church. There were so many. And he was ministering to all. But something is so interesting, that as he was training these disciples, one time he said he sent 70 away. Another time he sent the 12, training them in ministry. Now, all of a sudden, it was time for him to leave. Amen? Because the ministry of Jesus is the ministry of the Father. Once you live in the flesh, if the ministry is of the Father, it will multiply. It will not end. Because it's based on discipleship. So when he was about to leave, can you imagine? He started with 12 disciples. It increased to 70. By the time Jesus was ready to leave, after he rose from the dead, do you know the largest, the Jesus church was only 120. He could call disciples. When Jesus finished his ministry on earth, his congregation was 120 disciples. And so this is how Jesus described discipleship. He says, in the church, there is a broad way, and in the church, there is a narrow way. Disciples walk through the narrow way, but the congregation, those with all kinds of motives, maybe it's for healing, maybe it's for money, maybe it's for this, the motives, if it's not the cross, the discipleship, carry that cross, is the broad way. And he says there will be many in the broad way in the church, but very few disciples. So a church that heaven looks at is not the number, is who are disciples of Jesus in that church. Do you know why Jesus chose disciples? Because when he was leaving, he looked at them and he says, disciples are those who have been trained to obey their master. They've been tested. They've left everything out of their testing to prioritize their assignment on earth as a focus. So when he was leaving, 120 was the size of his church. He told them, go to the upper room. It's called the upper room church. Go to the upper room, and now you're going to be commissioned to fulfill what I have commanded you to do. And there's one command Jesus gave to them in Matthew 28, after he called them. He says, all power in heaven has been given to me. Now, two words, go. Go. And make disciples. You can have a church of 5,000 like Jesus had with feet. You can have a church of 10,000 or multiply. But the only people that will multiply what Jesus has put in them are disciples. So Jesus, before he left, he was successful in discipling correctly 120 people. And 120 people, he trusted with the Spirit, and we are here today because of disciples. So disciples are the only ones that make disciples. You can have a church full of people, but disciples multiply. So taking that example of Jesus, Mount Zion has come through years of training, years of preparation, and there are lots of disciples here. And God wants to test the spirit of discipleship in this house. Amen? So now, following the pattern of Jesus, last year, it was very clear, as a corporate body, on apart from individual level, God has brought us under that same cloud, that same atmosphere of Isaiah 61, anointing. Isaiah 60. And so, last week I shared with you the principle for us to watch called GPS. Amen? Because those that are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are the children of God. GPS. But before we look at a practical direction of the Spirit of God for us in 2023, I want to read a scripture to you about why God longs and looks in the earth for disciples. Because God is hungry, but he doesn't get fed by pizza and macaroni and cheese like we are. Amen? He's fed by something else. Amen? So let's all open to the book of John, chapter 4, and I want to show you something this morning. Amen. John chapter 4, let's read from verse. This was when, just before, from verse 27, this was Jesus now was in his ministry. Remember, he's following the Father's leading. And all of a sudden, the Lord, God told him, you must go through Samaria. And he told his disciples, we're going to go through this way. And they went through Samaria. It was by the well, Jacob's well, and right there a woman that has been needy came to him. Everybody knows this woman's situation, because in town she has changed so many husbands. They know her situation in Samaria, and she comes to the well when people are not really there, because she lives a reproachful life. But she's somebody that's well known. So now, this woman came to the well, and God timed it and says, you're going to pass through this place because I'm hungry for food. I'm hungry for a disciple. So he came there, and the woman came by the well, and they started exchanging words, and Jesus started ministering, started reaching out, and the woman started reaching out, and something happened there. The woman received living waters. So let's read from verse 27. It will set the atmosphere for what I want to share with you this morning and where God is taking us with his GPS. John chapter 4, verse 27. And upon this came his disciples. Everybody say disciples. And they marveled that he talked with the woman. The woman doesn't only have a problem with the Samaritan because of her situation. The Jews also have a problem with Samaritan. It's just like anybody that doesn't fit into your mind of how the church should look. My brothers and sisters, they marveled that Jesus was talking. My brothers, what I want to share with you this morning, this church doesn't look very much like the church of Jesus. We need harlots here. We need homosexuals here. We need people who are thirsty and need life. This place is not heaven. This is a harvest place. This place is a hospital. If sick people can't come here, what are we doing? We're just going to wear a jacket and they come and we're marveling. What are you doing here? Don't you know this is a church? That's why they came. Where else would they find God? So these people marveled, and that he was talking to this Samaritan. You know, the church of Jesus, he reaches to everybody. Yet no man said anything. In other words, okay, what seekest thou? Why talkest thou with this woman? They didn't want to ask question. Now listen to this. The woman then left her water pot. What she came to drink with, she left it. My brothers, let them come. When they meet Christ, they will drop those things that they don't want anymore. But they cannot drop their lifestyle in their lifestyle. They have to come to a well. This is a well, is a physical place where you draw something. The church is to be a well, but not a physical well. It's a place where rivers of life flows out of us, so they drink and they drop their lifestyle. So she dropped it. She dropped it, and then this is what happened. To show you, she's now. And listen to this, verse 28. The woman left her water pot and went her way into what? The city where she was known, and said to the men. I don't know why it was the men and not women. To the men, verse 29, come and what? See. I found a living well. Come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Listen, my brothers. He says, this man told me all I ever did. My brothers and sisters, all she ever did that Jesus told her was, you are bound. You're in distress. You're troubled. You're like a harlot. You're this. But he never condemned her. But he knew her condition, and he gave her a recipe for freedom. The fact that we know people are in sin, the only thing disciples are called to do is to give them a recipe for change, not to condemn. Amen? So now, the woman went and told people. Verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto what? To the well. To Jesus. For time. Because I want to show you a few things. You can read the rest of them, but let me read these two more verses. Verse 32. But he said unto his disciples, I have a meat to eat that you what? You know not of. Jesus says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Because the woman was going back to bring in harvest. He found a disciple. So, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans or sinners of that city believed on Jesus for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that he did. If you keep reading, then later they invited Jesus to their homes, to their city. And after the experience, they said, we are not only believe because you told us, but we too have experienced it. See, that's a disciple making disciples. You cannot give what you don't have. So, in Mount Zion, I believe we've come to a crossroad. When I mean a crossroad, we've come to a place where it's evident from last year, God has prepared. We are under the cloud. And the anointing from my research, the anointing and the oil and the glory of God is always evident when you begin to think about the lost. You will begin to see miracles. You begin to see healing. You begin to see God do things supernaturally. Because that's what he died for. So, I want us to now look at, I want to us to look at some things really quickly. I want them to help me with a slide. I want us to look at the word G. Remember, we are working with GPS. Everybody say GPS. Yes. We know what the natural GPS is, but the Holy Spirit is our GPS. Amen? So the first thing we want to recognize is the word G. Okay, under GPS, this is our plan for the year. GPS. So let's go to G. The word G for us is we are under the glory cloud. We are following that cloud by fire from the example of the Old Testament under we are hosting God's presence, Emmanuel. That's who we are. That's what we've been for years. That's our life. That's our breath. That's who we are. That's our motivation. So that's the Holy of Holies for us. And that's where we live. That's what we do every day. So now, Jesus lived in that. Now, when he carried the cloud, he has to now move to the next level. Let's go to P. Positioned by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, isn't it? Faith is the only way you connect to the spiritual world, or else you're a natural man. Faith is the only thing that distinguishes a believer from an unbeliever, because faith connects you to the reality of the spiritual world. The natural man only looks at what they see and they feel they eat. Amen? So, we are positioned by faith. Now, faith means we know that the cloud is over us because we know the reality of the cloud is in us. So, there's a GPS, a connection with heaven in our system. And by faith, we operate that kingdom. So, we are positioned by faith to connect to an unlimited God. With an unlimited faith. That means there is nothing impossible with him. Now, God begins to now speak. We are going this way. Amen? And you follow him by faith. So where we are in 2023 is the place of P. Is the place of S. S, like I share with you, we cast the vision, is basically God is all about souls. The only reason you are breathing today is so that you can fulfill your assignment in impacting the souls of your generation. Other than that, heaven is better than this place. We can go there. Amen? 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 Amen. 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 So when you come to souls, there are two kinds of souls. You have the, go back, you have the unsaved, back to souls. You have the unsaved and the saved. Amen? Go back to souls. You have the unsaved and you have the saved. Amen? Amen? Now, both of them can only be impacted by disciples. So, as disciples, we are going to focus on the saved. That's what we're doing here. Paul says, God gives the gifts and calling to equip the saints, to perfect the saints, to mature the saints. For one reason, for the ministry. Their ministry, their calling. What is the ministry? Of reconciliation, discipling people, making a difference in other people's life. Next. So, in Mount Zion, under reaching out to souls of people saved and unsaved, right now as we speak, now Zion is operating in three levels of reaching the souls. One, we have God has opened the door. You know, Jesus says, you will be my witnesses, beginning from where? Jerusalem. Where? Huh? Then where? And then where? So basically, in today's terminology, is our city, national, and international. Amen? So right now, I won't go into details, but Mount Zion, because God is defining this season at the time of harvest, just to begin our harvest season, he's already opened two doors for us to have not a local, but a national crusade. To begin like what Billy Graham kind of thing, we're starting with two countries in Africa. Just a starting. That's what is starting. Plus, also, God is calling Mount Zion in the area of prayer to work with something coming up in Amsterdam And then nationally, you all know what God has been doing through Mount Zion and ESM to mobilize prayer in the nation. So that's aside. But locally, where we are in our city, God wants us to reach this city. How can we reach the city? Let me tell you, there have been churches with 2,000 in this city, 3,000, even some might be 5,000. There are so many churches in this city. But this city has about 110,000 people in Brawley County. A little bit over 30-something, 40,000 in Cleveland. Since I came to this city, the statistics is still saying there are 70 unreached people in this city, percent. And 30% goes to church. Why does it remain the same? Because when this church becomes 2,000, this church becomes 100. When this church becomes 500, this church becomes 50. What is going on? When this church is booming, the ones here go to this aquarium here. When this church is, the ones here go here. So we are rotating. We are recycling membership. And so the pastors are sitting and saying, I'm jealous of this. When we have 70% of, what are you jealous of? When the fish is everywhere. Jealous of what? Of taking somebody else's member? And I don't have somebody else's member? Is that what we're jealous of? When there are people around our city, the buildings is blowing up and God is sending more fishes. 70% cycle every year. You know why? Exactly in the days of Jesus, there were thousands. All they want is motive. Give me, give me, give me, give me. When you don't give me, I grumble. I go to this church. Give me, give me, give. You're not give. I go to this one. Give me, give me, give me. Disciples are fishermen. Jesus says, I will make my disciples fishers of men. Disciples don't have any reason to envy or to be jealous because the river is full of fish. Hallelujah. So God is looking for disciples, because remember, disciples make disciples. If you're not a disciple, you go about your life. You go home. You go to work. You come to church on Sunday. You do all the things you need to do. That's the cycle. And there are people all around us. So now, we are in the season of harvest. And the GPS of God's cloud says, Zion, I want you to be witnesses. I want you to be disciples. You don't have to do the work. I'm the GPS. I will lead you, but I want you to follow me. You won't do the work, but follow me. Amen? Is that too difficult? Amen. So, what's the next? Soul winning strategy. The Bible says, he that winneth soul is what? Wise. There must be wisdom. The word wisdom is strategy. Amen? GPS. So, what we want to do in Mount Zion in this season under the GPS is to become disciples. But God is already ahead of us. You know why? To show that this is the season of harvest, he went ahead of us and gave us a building. He says, let me see if they'll fill it up. Let me see how far they will go with this. Because as I'm talking to you, we have buildings in this city. If we are faithful with this, you will see what happens next. Amen? Amen? Amen. Disciples follow the GPS. Peter were fishing and trying to catch fish. He could not. That is human method of evangelism. That is human CEO strategy. You can walk all the walk in the sea, But when the GPS says, put the net here, go here, Peter followed the GPS for one time and saw enough fish that they have to put in another boat. He said, no, that's my calling. I'm going to follow this direction. My human effort cannot supply what I need. He followed the GPS. One direction of the GPS filled two boats. So that's why God is saying it is time to follow the GPS. It's not human energy. So how do we do that? Very simple. This is the plan for our S, our soul, both for the saved and unsaved. We are going to adopt a very simple thing to remind us. There's a lady upstairs. She put a chimney. Gring, 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 gring. You know that chimney sound? That sound that cools your mind. That's what she has as a ringer on her phone. So when she hears that sound, it reminds her of certain things. Amen? This is a sound we want to adopt in this house. And we want to try it this year. Just let's try it 1 year and see what happens with this building. It's called Everyone Invite Someone. Can you say it? Everyone invite someone. Everyone invite. Jesus is a one-on-one person. Amen? One-on-one, miracles happen more easily. And the people go and tell. Jesus, everybody say Jesus is a one-on-one. So we are going to do everyone invite someone. Very simple. Everyone invite someone. Sometimes we want to reach uttermost part of the world, Judea. He says, begin in Jerusalem. Begin with your closest area of operation. Amen? Make it easy. Before you start, start with one. So, simple strategy. Everyone invites someone. Please, let's say it again. Everyone invites someone. If our musicians can create that, everyone invites someone. We can play it as a music. Because growing up in school, they teach us things. It stays in our mind when it's connected to music. Amen? Jesus loved little children, and before you never forget it. Everyone invite someone. Amen? Three steps to this process. Very simple three steps. To make sure it's not in your strength. To make sure it is the work of the GPS, the Holy Spirit. Three things we must do. Three simple things. Number one, everybody say, pray for that one. So number one is pray. Let me start with Coca. Coca, now we're adding Walbright eventually. Coca, how difficult will it be for a whole week? You have 24 hours in a day. Will it be too hard to say, remember the prayer we pray, God, send someone to my life. Send someone I can help. Send someone. So you take the burden of finding somebody away from you. Because that's our problem. How am I going to go find, knock on somebody's door? No, you put it on the Holy Spirit. God, bring somebody into my way. Partner with God. Give that commitment to God. It's a prayer. 24 hours a day. Simple prayer. God, send someone in my life. Send someone across my path. Amen? Amen. Number one, pray for that one. Number two, care for that one. So you've been praying this today, you pray tomorrow, you pray again the next day, all of a sudden you're going to work or going to Walmart or you're at work or you're somewhere or you probably just somewhere during the course of your life and somebody runs into you. Before this message, people run into us, we don't know why, we just go. After this message, it will make sense to you. They did not come by chance. You've been praying for that one. So when they come your way, before, if they come my way, I'll just say, hi, how you doing? You're shopping, praise God. But now, you now feel, maybe that's the one. How you doing today? How is your day going? How is your family? If it's a younger, whatever, just very simple care. Care means, don't say, just run off. Care now means, it will just be a smile to the person that is just looking at you somehow. It might be the people putting stuff on the shelf at Walmart. You're doing a very hard work. Thank you so much. It might be the waitress. You may have never thought about it before. Thank you. So there's a lady that has blessed Mount Zion so much. I met her when she was a waitress. Now she's a big businesswoman. God says, the food I ate was probably $5. God says, following the GPS, give her $20 tip. I didn't have enough. I gave $20 tip. That caught her attention. She came back, was conversing. Today, she has blessed Mount Zion. Today, she owns a big business. Amen? GPS. Amen? It doesn't matter where you meet the people, but the thing now is, maybe this is that one. So let me not just rush this. Care. Care doesn't mean take them home, do this, do that. Start simple care is, how is your day going? How is your family? Can I pray for you? Is there a need I can pray for? Here is my our church card, or here is this. Here's my phone number. Just show a little bit of concern that is outside of your busy day because you prayed for that one. Care. The care can increase to the person opens up or shows this or shows that or show. Then you can take it to another level. Maybe come for the home for dinner. Listen, Mount Zion, when it started, my apartment used to be full. People are standing wall to wall because I used to cook pepper soup, cook stew, and make rice my own special way. It wasn't the taste of the food. It was just the fact that they were invited. Actually, Walbraith, that's how he met me. Years ago, in that apartment, he was a postmaster. When you come there, you will see people praying, people doing stuff. He was wondering what was happening. And today, we're here. Amen? Amen? It doesn't take much to care for people. Some of the people that have come here say, that Wola man, he just stops at our place and just knocks and just say hello. Yeah, do you need some? You know, this person, just a little bit of out of your way because you've been praying. So the next one is number three, share. The moment you pray for someone, you're praying through the week, God brings someone, you will know. God will bring them. Amen? God will bring them. Or you will see them. There's a way you just know. You care. I give people, these days I don't know how safe it is. You can't stop me from giving people ride in those days. I have this big car that drank a lot of gas. And I will put people, I will carry them to work. I'll go, just, I give people ride everywhere. A lot of everybody has car. Now, you know, then Cleveland didn't have a bus. So, care. Pray for that one. Show a little bit of care. And then opportunity comes to share. Amen? Sometimes it doesn't go according to the 1, 2, 3. It can go whichever way. But if just this simple principle makes the GPS in control and not you, and makes life, as an evangelist, you become a witness naturally. Now, in the sharing, the third part is basically not everybody knows how to witness to people. Not everybody knows how to lead them to the Lord. To take that burden off you, we use the word, if you're there, you can invite them to church. You can invite them to Christ. The whole thing about salvation is lead people to Christ, not to church. Because the person might not necessarily come to your church. Lead them to Christ. And let God choose where they will be discipled. Amen? But make the effort. But the reason we're saying church, not everybody knows how to lead people to Christ. So, but the easiest thing you can do, we're going to have a very simple complimentary card. When it gets to the point people are open to you because you prayed for them, you know God sent to them, you've shown a little bit of care, you can say, you know, come visit our church. Come and see. Come and visit our church. Come visit. But if you are still that person that knows how to lead, you can be caring. You might get to the point you share. But don't share unless the opportunity is ripe. That woman did not just receive Jesus. Jesus walked through a process until there was a revelation. And then he puts the hook. Amen? Don't pull a fish until they pull the string. Amen? If you're fishing, the fish doesn't drag that thing. He's not eating it. You just pull that thing, it's eating all the fish on the side, all the worm on the side, and you just pull it up, nothing is there. But once they drag that thing, they're ready. You pull the hook. Amen? Amen? Amen. Erica, amen? Amen? All right. So that's called pray, care, share. What, is that difficult? Okay. Now, if we start doing that, and as a church, we commit to God to do that as a lifestyle, just a lifestyle of a witness, this is what happens. There's a possibility, if we try it in just a few months, you will see how easy discipleship is. Are you like, how come we've not been doing this? But this is the time, because it works with the GPS. Works with the Holy Ghost. When we start doing this, everybody might not be at the same level. So this is the plan. We want to, today I want to pray, and the prayer will be for each of you to make a decision. Because when you hear a message, you don't make a decision, the enemy will come and steal it. You got to make a decision when you hear it. So we know it's possible. Everybody cannot pray, care, share, and do it in a week. There are some who can really run with this once a month. Pastor, okay, if you give me a whole month, yes, I will be praying, and I'll leave it open. Just give me a month. You know, if somebody comes my way, I will invite them, share, I will invite them to church. A whole month. That's what some people can do. Some people can do every 2 weeks. Some people, a month is too far. I'm praying every day for this. So if God sends somebody, no, I can't wait a month. They say 2 weeks. They commit to intentionally in 2 weeks invite somebody to church or to Christ. Some will say, come on, this is. I pray every day. And I'll be asking God every day. So somebody comes to my way tomorrow at work or something, I'll be giving an excuse. I can commit to doing this weekly intentionally. So we're dividing into weekly commitment, or bi-weekly, or monthly. And I want you to sign up with the Lord. You know what it means to sign up? If you sign up, means you're committing to man. But if you commit this to God, then the Holy Spirit, you and the Holy Spirit will work it out. Amen? If you commit it to the Lord, he sees you every day. You see him every day. So it's between both of you. Amen? But if you commit to men, we can just continue our religious games. So this morning, once we make that commitment, God will give us the grace. Amen? Now, when that happens, this place might start getting packed out on Sundays because of all the invitation. Our Sunday service is going to be shifting focus towards reaching the lost, towards ministering to the need of the church. I won't go into details, but we're going to train people. But the minister, everything will be tailored towards that. Amen? And you're going to see the difference very soon. Amen? Amen? Then, we have a strategy. Number one is, if everyone invite someone. B is, our Sunday service will shift towards really impacting people and making sure, if a gay person comes here tomorrow, a harlot comes here tomorrow, These are the ones that are visible. But sometimes you don't see the Pharisees more in sin than that. It's just that one outwardly shows. But the real sinner can be wearing suit. But when they come, how do we minister to them? How do we walk with them so they don't remain where they are? That's what our Sunday service will shift to. And then, that's invite everyone, A, B, Sunday service flow shift. C, we're going to do this strategy. Number one, A in C is a follow-up. We're going to have a very carefully planned follow-up. Amen? Follow-up. Follow-up is when that fish is hooked, you have to get it to the ground. Somebody comes to church, they are already showing interest, and you don't follow up, you never anchor that fish to the ground. So we're going to develop a good follow-up strategy to get people to really see the need to settle. And then the next one, we're going to have a very powerful discipleship training and classes for people that get saved. Deliverance process, this process, this process, so that they get grounded. Even people in church that needs those classes. We have a lot of trainers here, but we're going to really do some serious work in making sure they know the assignment. Develop classes for discipleship. And then the third level is our home fellowship. Our home fellowship strategy, we're just going to tweak it. It becomes really impacting, relational like it is now, but also a place where people can open up and find help. It will be a back door, what they call a back door, closing the back door. There are so many people that are struggling in church or having problems that they not meet. The Bible says in the book of Acts, some of the women were complaining because their needs were not met. If the somebody doesn't listen to it and we find a solution, that's the they will go away from there. That's how a lot of people leave unattended to, and they are back in the streets bombarded for loneliness. So my brothers and sisters, this is going to be our strategy going forward. So I just quickly now want us to pray. To pray towards this. If you're here today, and you heard what was shared, the difference between a disciple and just a Jew, a member of a church, and you're choosing to be a disciple, there has to be a commitment to Christ as a cross to carry for him. If you're here today and you want to commit to working with the GPS Holy Spirit weekly on this, I don't want you to raise your hands. Amen? But if you're here, you want to commit weekly to doing this, I want you to make that decision today with the Lord. If you want to commit bi-weekly, make that decision. And if you want to commit monthly, make that decision. And based on the decision you make, we're going to have a sign-up sheet out there from next Sunday morning. The purpose of the sign-up sheet is, I want to take that sign-up sheet and say, these are those who have made a commitment, and I want to be praying for you, praying with you, so that together we believe we're on this, we are ready to do some things for Christ. Amen. I want to cover you, and I want to keep you, keep all of, so take this today to make that decision, and prayerfully before you come next Sunday, you are totally set. You've already started. I'm going to have a sign of you, sign it, and we'll take it from there, and we'll begin to implement the rest of God's plan for souls and discipleship. Amen? Amen. 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 All of you are potential ministers. You've been trained. It's now time for every joint and every plot to supply so that the body can increase. Amen. Amen. If you believe this, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I know God will bless you, and God will be feeding that meat that is looking for true man Zion. Let's stand up together and just agree on this. Thank you, Father. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Father, you said, he that has set his hands on a plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Father, we want to be disciples for you. We want, out of what you've done for us, for somebody else out there to drink from the life you've given us. We say, yes, Lord, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Have your way in our lives. We make that decision today. To be intentional about obeying you. Send somebody our way and help us to give them something to drink from your well. Let you alone receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Come.